Go with me to our text message this morning found in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 and verse 11. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We are in this space where an unexpected voice within this unexpected hour calls out to each of us, our community, and the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning we are on a journey to encounter hope in the midst of turmoil, pain, joy, and celebration. Because of you, hope is possible all around us as we wait. I pray our mind and hearts remain open as we continue on this journey to not only receive, but also to give your gift of hope. And all of God's children said, amen. There are a lot of tweets, Facebook posts, and news articles and commentary surrounding Friday's unspeakable tragedy. It's likened to a hurricane or another named storm, and the devastation is long-lasting. Our hearts ache for the families, for those who were injured during this attack, for those who were in fear throughout the day. And we grieve and mourn as a community for the lives senselessly taken and their friends and loved ones who were left behind. So on December 18th at 6 p.m., at our longest night service, we want to invite you and our community through prayer, reflection, candle lighting, and other acts of worship to witness that the Christ child comes as a sign of hope, even in the face of chaos and despair. But for now, in this unexpected hour, in this sacred space with heavy anxiety filled and open hearts, we are waiting once again. Like many of you, I have to admit that waiting is hard. Not rushing to the end, but living in the in-between times, in the space of the here and now. Since moving to the Gulf Coast, my family has deemed my home as the new vacation spot. I think some of you can relate to that. One year, my brother and sister-in-law decided to go on a cruise and port out of Mobile. The plan was for them to stay with me a few days, and as many of you know, preparing for guests, even family, is a lot of work. Particularly during the season between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Don't get me wrong, I love and adore them dearly. But to top it off, some of you already know both of them are professional bodybuilders. I was so incredibly busy while they were cruising, I forgot it was time for them to return. So I didn't have the 5 dozen eggs of protein that they're accustomed to in my fridge. I only had 5. The cream for the coffee had too many carbs in it. They look at the carbs in cream for coffee. My meat selection remains frozen, and my vegetable selection was, well, sparse. Did I mention that pro bodybuilders eat all the time? To be honest, in my household, any day can quickly become a Panera Bread or Fusakli's moment. So preparing for anything or anyone takes a high level of intentionality and requires a significant amount of time and thought. If you have ever experienced or are currently experiencing that level of preparation anxiety, it could be for a business meeting, preparing for a dinner for 100 guests, or it could be just overnight. I want you to hold that thought for a moment. Our lectionary passage this morning begins with the invitational phrase, "in those days." See, many of us have seen a comical and sometimes cartoonish image of John the Baptist eating locust and honey with a long beard, sandals, and dressed in camel hair. This phrase, "in those days," is inviting us to at least expand our notion and image of John the Baptist, who, by the way, is not the writer of the Gospel of John, and is the cousin of Jesus, the Christ. So for a moment, I need for you to go back to your Bibles, and I need for you to go to Luke chapter 3 and mark your way or write it down for you to reflect later, because this message involves Luke as well as Matthew. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It is where in those three words, "in those days," it gives us an understanding of what it means to live within the in-between time and within the space of the here and now. This morning in this sacred place, we are fundamentally being challenged by John the Baptist. He is proclaiming a new kind of work, a new way of thinking, and an age-old message from the prophet Isaiah. It is brought to our hearing by his lone voice, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." See, the Gospel of Luke continues that every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Prepare the way of the Lord. In those days, Luke first identifies John the Baptist by placing him in a historical context. He gives a detailed and orderly account of his narrative. It is not only geographical, but it's also social and political and economic. It is difficult to fully grasp Matthew in those days without first peeking at Luke. Luke's gospel names historical figures, including their social and political status. This is a significant move because he wants those to hear to recognize that this narrative, whether found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, is not a fable. It is not an illusion. It is not an analogy. It is a real historical occurrence with real people and real outcomes. This space in time marks a new and fresh beginning, and it is in preparation for Jesus' public ministry. Prepare way the Lord. But first, this unexpected voice plants us in this unexpected hour as an unexpected gift of hope as we await the birth of Jesus Christ. There is a riddle that continues to make its way around Facebook. One writer says it's a riddle that's been around since Jesus turned water into wine. The riddle says it's 7 a.m., you are asleep, and there is a sudden knock on the door. Behind the door are your parents who came to have breakfast. In your fridge, you have bread, pasteurized milk, you have orange juice, and a jar of jam. The question to answer in this age-old riddle is, what will you open first? So I ask you, beautiful people of God, what would you open first? The door? What else? Your eyes. Yes. You open your eyes first. So like the Israelites, God's covenant people, we open our eyes with hope and expectation, and we wait. Like I mentioned earlier, waiting is hard to do. Much of our lives are spent waiting. According to the study by Texas A&M's annual mobility, on average, Americans spend 38 hours every year waiting in traffic. In heavily populated areas, it's beyond 60 hours. If you've ever drove in Atlanta, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But see, that's not all we wait for. We wait for packages. We wait in anticipation of a phone call. We wait for a loved one to return. We wait for our hearts to heal. We wait for the rain to pass. And today we wait for God. We are living in those days right now. Because in the midst of waiting, we are called to prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist's ministry is a continuation of salvation history. And the tradition of God leading and guiding exiled people from the wilderness to the promised land. Jeremiah 33:14 reminds us, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah." We are living in the in-between times in the midst of chaos and tragedy, but we are filled with the unexpected gift hope. See, we are being encouraged by this knowledge that we have that God never makes a promise God cannot or will not keep. When God promised a Savior, God delivered. When God promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," God will never leave you nor forsake you. When God says you are forgiven in this in-between time, beautiful people of God, you are forgiven. But in the meantime, we still wait, and we wait with the unexpected gift, the hope that Christ brings. This historical setting deserves more than just passing attention. Those words in those days deserves more than just passing attention. It serves as a reminder that God's promises come to fulfillment when the context of physical history is within our midst. The physical history of John and Jesus, they were not mythological figures. They existed in historical time and space, and they functioned within a specific cultural situation. This passage brings comfort to us as God's people prepare
the way of the Lord.
The unexpected gift in the waiting. The unexpected voice is ours. We are called to cry out to those out there. We are called to cry out to one another right here that we are to prepare the way for the Lord because he brings salvation and healing and love and forgiveness. But right now, we wait. We wait with this knowledge. We wait in anticipation. And because we know, we wait with hope. This morning, God is using the same message to reach us. Because a good thing, no, a great thing is on the way. This prophetic passage for those who will hear is the good news of the gospel, reiterating that the Messiah is coming. And we, as God's beloved people, can live, can wait with anticipation, can wait with confidence, can wait knowing that our sins are forgiven, can wait knowing that we have this gift of hope. We can wait because the love and grace of the Savior is the grandest possibility that God could ever offer us. So for a moment, I want you to look back with me. I knew my brother was coming. I knew he was going on a cruise, and I knew the cruise would come back. I knew he was on his way many months before because he called me and said he found a great cruise deal. He didn't ask me to go, but he did call me. See, he knew that I would be home, and he told me he couldn't wait to spend a few days with us. If you have siblings, blah, blah, blah. I knew he was coming. I put it on my calendar and labeled it brother. Probably more like old brother than anything else. I calendared his event. I calendared this visit so I wouldn't forget. I had plans to go bodybuilding grocery shopping because, like I asked him about his spiritual life and whether or not he's reading his Bible, he inevitably asked me about my diet. Siblings. I planned to get the guest room ready and have everything in order. Then life happened. And every day, this date on my calendar became just that, a date. I planned for his coming, but I did not take the intentionality. I did not take the time to prepare. In so many areas of our lives, we plan, but we do not prepare. John the Baptist, this unexpected voice, is once again telling us this year, not just for the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, but for a lifetime. Prepare the way of the Lord, for hope is the unexpected gift that God offers the world. Prepare the way of the Lord by opening your heart to God's forgiveness of your own sins. Prepare the way of the Lord by being a ministry of presence to someone who is grieving. When this season is not a joyous one as we have experienced for everyone, prepare the way of the Lord. By seeing God in everyone that you meet, prepare the way of the Lord by sharing God's love and watching God break through into our world. This is the unexpected gift. Waiting for the one who is and is to come. But as you wait, decorate and write cards, gift wrap and cook, dust the guest rooms, shop for your vegan bodybuilding relatives and friends, and as you wait, prepare for Christ to fill your life, not just on a particular day or date, but today, right now. Prepare for the gift of hope and the gift of God's love and grace. Prepare the way, the Lord. In Mobile, I had been a part of Family Promise. It was a local organization that invites churches to host families experiencing homelessness. One year, a mother who was parenting alone had a C-section on a Friday, came into a host church on Monday with her 3-day-old baby. She had 2 other children at the time, an 18-month-old and an older child. Her first night was spent reuniting with her children and having to take care of her 3-year-old baby. I want you to imagine what life was like for her in that moment. Sleeping on a cot after a C-section in pain. She had no place to go but the church who was hosting these families. One of the church volunteers compared this family to receiving a 3-day-old baby Jesus who had no home. See, preparing the way of the Lord is challenging because we are called to live into John the Baptist proclaiming through the prophet Isaiah that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And as we wait, the challenge before us today is the inclusion of all of God's people. This salvific invitation where we're called to reach out to both men and women, to the rich and the poor, to the young and the old, to the Gentiles and the Jews. We need to let them know that God desires for creation to take action and clear a path in these days because we are to prepare the way for the Lord. And in the midst, we are invited to welcome the Redeemer in our own lives. As we wait, let us prepare to welcome the Messiah. Let us welcome the Redeemer, and let all that who we are be an offering that is pleasing to God. Today is the unexpected gift. Luke and Matthew were speaking to marginal groups within society. They had their own standards, their own sense of cohesion. They were strong enough to bring together people whose contacts were normally restricted. They brought together Jews and Gentiles who were separate. They brought together men and women who were separate. They brought together the poor and the privileged who were separate. Repentance and forgiveness meant a change in the community with which one identified. And see, an adoption of a new set of community standards was called to guide their behavior. It is a risk to prepare the way of the Lord. The people who are sitting next to you may not be like you. John the Baptist was making hearts ready for the one who was soon to come. And beautiful people of God, we're all called and challenged to make crooked paths straight for a 3-year-old who has no place to sleep. We're called to prepare the way of the Lord for a community stuck by gun violence and tragedy. We're called to prepare the hearts of those around us, and yet we wait for the Lord is coming. We don't wait alone. We wait with one another in community, praying for one another and standing fearlessly in the face of opposition. We wait together. We wait and know that this unexpected gift is for us to be the hope of Christ. We wait and we proclaim our faith to the world. So wait, beautiful people of God. Let your voice cry out in the wilderness that Jesus is coming and is the unexpected gift of hope. For the promise of Isaiah is that all shall see the salvation of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful for this table of grace and love. Prepare our hearts as we prepare the way and fill us with your hope. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.